Well, hey, friends, and welcome to another Wayfinders Church podcast, where Wayfinders Church, we want to love first because we believe that when we get outside of ourselves and serve others, something happens to us. We do life together because when we do it in community, life is better, and we live the story because we're participating in this thing that God has called us to. So we love first, do life together, and live the story. We'd love to have you out at one of our upcoming events, and just so you know what they are, on Saturday, October 28th from 1 to 4 at the Kyle Center Street Trick or Treat, we will be out there. The city has asked Wayfinders to partner with them and put on a massive, great trick-or-treat event for families. So HEB provided pumpkins, so there's going to be a pumpkin decorating contest, costume contest, tons of candy, 30-something booths, bounce houses. You won't want to miss it. And then this Sunday, if you're interested, we have a Discover Lunch right after our weekend worship experience at the Kimbrough Building, 500 West Blanco Street in Kyle. And then finally, something coming up in November that we're really, really pumped about. We have a new series of seminars, classes, groups, whatever you want to call them, called Finding Our Way. And the one coming up in November is called Finding Our Way with the Bible. And if you've ever had questions about what the Bible is, about how to engage it, if you've ever questioned anything about the Bible ever, period, this one is for you. And I'd highly recommend you looking into joining us on this event. It's free. It's at the Hampton Inn in Kyle in their conference room. And it's going to be fantastic. So you can sign up and find out more about everything at wayfinders.info. So I thought we'd take a break from the AJH Minute and we'd do a different author today, Frederick Buechner. And we're going to, from time to time, bring him into the fold because he is one of those authors that is extremely formational for so many because his words just carry such weight to them. And this is one of his notes here. Here we go. Lord, catch me off guard today. Surprise me with some moment of beauty or pain, so that at least for the moment, I may be startled into seeing that you are here in all your splendor, always and everywhere, barely hidden beneath, beyond, within this life I breathe. What an amazing prayer. Let me read it to you again. Lord, catch me off guard today. Surprise me with some moment of beauty or pain, so that at least for the moment, I may be startled into seeing that you are here in all of your splendor, always and everywhere, barely hidden beneath, beyond, and within the life I breathe. I love this quote. And isn't that what we really want? He's asking us, asking God to reveal God's self, to be fully present in the moment, to be aware of what moment he's in. And I think that's something we could all use. How many times have I been distracted? How many times have I missed out because I haven't looked slightly deeper? I haven't looked beneath, beyond, or within. And I haven't taken the time to be startled into asking what would God want from this moment, from this time. So we are in the Begin at the Beginning series. And today is, well, we're coming close to the end. We have today and then a few more, but not many. And Beginning at the Beginning is all about Genesis 1 through 11. It's all about our perspective that shapes who we are, why we're here, what we're doing. And it's the same reason why it's important to start every story at the beginning so that you know the journey that's being taken place. It's important for us to live at the beginning. And today is called From Adam to Noah. And so I want you to understand that there's a grand story that's happening in all of Scripture. And if you don't get kind of the preamble, if you don't get the intro, if you don't get that first part, you tend to miss out on the grand picture. How many times have you walked in on the climax of a movie or clicked the channel and it's near, you know, kind of two-thirds of the way through and you've never seen it before and so it's not compelling? But if you'd watched it from the beginning, it would be compelling. It would mean something. There would be tension building up to the climactic moments. And so it's really, really important that we understand that there's a grand story that we're jumping into when we jump into Scripture. And if we don't begin at the beginning, we miss out on some of that. And so just to recap, God created. He sang into existence. He separated and filled. There's a movement going from chaos toward order. And then we get a special task. As humans, we're created in his image. We're blessed very good as opposed to good with all of the other creation. And we're given the task of being fruitful and multiplying and shaping and stewarding and directing and taking all of this world and this life somewhere. And it is into that that basically Adam and Eve decide to throw things kind of into the start of a reversal back into chaos because they choose their royal task or their job. Instead of forwarding it, they choose to elevate themselves to the position of God by eating the forbidden fruit. And then there's an exchange with them and God. They get kicked out of the garden, and then their kids get into a tiff, and one brother kills the other brother. And that's where we were last week with Michael Pigg leading that episode, and that was great. If you haven't caught up on that, catch up on it. And so that's how far we are in the story. And then, right after that, is chapter 5 of Genesis, where it goes from Adam to Noah in a giant list of names. How many times, if you are a Bible reader, have you looked at those genealogies and just skipped them? I'll wait for you to think about it. Okay, how many times have you just read the names really quickly? Right? I mean, we tend to skip over so many things, but right here in this genealogy is a hidden gem because the Scripture is layered upon layer upon layer, and there are things that are hidden within it that are multi-purposed within it. And the ancient rabbis and Jewish leaders and they used a phrase called turn the gem. And so they would look at a passage, and then they would look at a passage a different angle, and then look at it through a different angle, and they would continue to turn the gem. And so maybe you've found genealogies boring. Maybe you just say that, you know, it used to be, when I was a kid, they call it the begets, because it was so-and-so begot so-and-so. You know, they changed the languaging in the newer translations of Scripture, but that used to be the way that it was. So I'm going to read you the names, and then we'll just go from there. First, there was Adam. Then there was Seth. Then there was Enosh. Then there was Kenan. Then there was Mahalalel. Then there was Jared. Then there was Enoch. Then there was Methuselah, then there was Lamech, and then there was Noah. Okay, and within each of those, they had other sons and daughters, and they died at the age of, you know, whatever, except Enoch, who got taken to heaven. Maybe that's a discussion for another day. We might jump into it today, if we have time. So, here's this genealogy. It's used to progress the story, to introduce us to the new characters and get to a relevant character. But the genealogy itself seems really, really boring until you break open what the meanings of the names are. So Hebrew names always have a meaning, a translation behind them that means something. And this is what they mean in order, okay? Man, that's Adam, is appointed mortal sorrow. The just God shall come down. His teaching will bring the disparaging rest. So if you made it into a sentence, it would look something like this. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the just God shall come down, and his teaching will bring the disparaging rest. Are you kidding me? That's what the names mean in this genealogy? That we were destined for death, but God's going to come down and his teaching is going to bring us rest? Like we're going to find rest from our sorrow? This is incredible. And so, so when you look at this, I'm hoping all kinds of questions come to your mind. One of them right off the bat is the original writers, they didn't know Jesus, so were they talking about Jesus? The answer is maybe. It is, however, more likely that they were talking about the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of our Bible, and it translates as law in Hebrew. And the law was given by God, written down through Moses or Moses's peoples. And the law, the Torah, is all about knowing what God wants from us, who we're supposed to be. In other words, when we know what God wants from us and who we're supposed to be as a God people, then we will find peace. That's the Torah. And so the Jewish people, they would look at this list of names and they would say, ah, yes, it's a foreshadowing of the Torah, God's law, knowing what God wants from us, knowing what God, who God is calling us to be, who we're supposed to be. That brings peace to our sorrowful lives. That brings rest to our constant drive to become the place of God. When we know what God actually wants and who we're supposed to be, then there is peace. Maybe that's true for you. Like, you believe that. When you know what God wants from you and who you're supposed to be, then you can finally get a peace. Not a peace from buying something or a peace that way, but a real peace that is at work within you. Perhaps, if you're a Christian, you think maybe this refers to Jesus. Maybe he's talking about that God really came down, that he was Emmanuel, God with us, and knowing that grace and love win out, that the powers of sin and darkness and chaos are beaten, and we can live differently, we can become the people that God actually wants us to be. We can become a new creation, beating out death because we know whose we are. See, this is amazing in this little genealogy, is this foreshadowing of what's going to happen through the entirety of the rest of Scripture. And it's right beneath the surface. So take a moment to breathe this in. Are you startled yet? So when we turn the gem, we could be asking, do we know whose we are? What line of people we're coming from? Do we know what God wants from us and who we are supposed to be? Okay, let's talk about Enoch for a second. It says, when Enoch was 65, this is verse 21, was 65 years old, Methuselah was born. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived another 300 years in close fellowship with God, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years in all. He enjoyed a close relationship with God throughout his life. Then suddenly, he disappeared because God took him. No other explanation other than he lived really close to God. And then after 365 years, which sounds a lot like a special number to me, you know, because that's the number of days in a year, then he goes away. He gets taken. He went to be with God. It's interesting to me. When we're talking about, we're asking the question, do we know whose we are? And Enoch here, he knows whose he is because he lived in close fellowship with God. In close relationship with God. Isn't it interesting that when you know whose you are, you can find a closer connectivity with that? I think that's what the 23andMe commercials are all about. You know, if you don't know the 23andMe, I think Ancestry.com is doing the same thing where you send in a DNA sample and they tell you all the different parts of who you are. And their commercials are compelling because, you know, they have people going on trips to the different areas of world that they come from. That make up their totality of their ethnicity, and they get to learn about their culture and maybe some interesting ways of how they get to be, and they're connected, and when they know who they are and why, you know, how they came to be, then all of a sudden they're not worried. They're finding peace. And I wonder if Enoch found that peace because he knew exactly who he was. He wasn't worried about what he had to do. So let's turn the gem again. Is your life boring? Are you looking at your life like so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so? It's just a giant list of boringness. What could God be teaching you in this moment? What is right beneath the surface? Maybe you need to take a step back and you need to look. Maybe you need to try to see something from a different angle. Maybe you need to ask more questions. Maybe you need to see the connectivity of all things. I don't know. Maybe you, like at the end of Cain and Abel, you find your life in turmoil and you need to put a record of the reality of things. Who is God calling you to be? Sometimes when our life is in turmoil, it helps to write things down. Maybe you've found that when you're overwhelmed that you like to write a list. I wonder if all of that has to be the same way when we find ourselves in chaos in life, if we start writing out whose we are and where we came from. So maybe your life's in turmoil and I need to ask you the question, who is God calling you to be? Who is God calling you to be? One final gem. What will your tomorrow turn out to be? What will your tomorrow turn out to be? Perhaps what you do will beget something. Maybe it will beget someone. Maybe it will beget something. But perhaps whatever you're doing today will turn into something tomorrow. And so maybe the final gem on this is asking the question, what are you going to produce? Are you going to produce chaos? Are you going to be in such close proximity with God that you're so connected that you just go on living forever? Are you going to be aware of God's law and his desire to show us who we are and how to live? Are you going to be aware that love wins out, that even when we're destined for mortal sorrow, that there is grace and peace at the end of that road, that the powers of death have been beaten? See, whatever you're doing today, whoever you're investing in today, it will beget something, and the question is what? So my friends, that is a little bit from a genealogy, and may you come to be aware of what is just beneath the surface and beget something really, really cool. Much love, my friends.